I appreciate the songs. And as they started that last song, it started out saying, I want to know him better. And the only way that I can know him better is if I do something about it. We get caught up in moments and times and some sweet services that we might be in. And I've did it. I've said it before to where we'd be in a service and I'd be sitting there and the Lord be blessing me. And I tell myself, hey, when I get home, I'm going to get on in the Word. I'm going to just do better. I'm going to learn more about Him and get caught up in the moment. And then even after I get home, I get myself distracted. I look back in my life and I tell myself, as long as God has saved my soul and called me to do things, and that I ought to be even better than what I am, more knowledgeable than what I am. But the only finger I can point at anybody is myself for not knowing no more than what I know. I thank the Lord for letting us be here today. And we're going to read some scripture. We're going to read first in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And then we're going to read some in Mark chapter 5. And as we get turned there, we just say this. I know this week we're doing live stream for some of that being around abouts in our areas and even amongst some families outside of church, but even a couple in. We've all been kind of had it in our family somewhere down the line, but just for precautionary purposes this Sunday, we deemed it better just to do a live stream. But right now our plans are next Sunday that we do back face to face again. So I want to encourage each and every one that possibly can through the week that's heard this song, says I want to do better and I want to do more. Let's have the I want to be in church next Sunday. And I know there's some situations that people can't, and like I said, God's provided ways that we can get the word out. But I still believe that He don't want us to fail to assemble ourselves together in His house. So I just want to be encouraging on that. But chapter 9 in Samuel, we're going to read, start with the third verse. A few verses, then we're going to skip down some, and then we'll read in Mark, and then we'll give you what we thought, thinking that God gave us. But chapter 9, third verse. Now, this is talking about a promise that David had made to Jonathan years ago, that if something happened to him, that he'd take care of his family. So David's the king, and he starts thinking about that promise that he made, and he starts asking around. It says, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lamed on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amari, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amel, and from Lodibar. Then we're going to just go on over to the last verse of that chapter. After Mephibosheth's done been there, it says, so Mephibosheth drew. Let me start that. It says, and Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. And then Mark chapter 5, we'll start with the first verse, read a few, then we'll go down to where we feel like we need to be. But it's talking about Jesus. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." Then we're going to read the 15th verse. This is right after Jesus touched him. It says, "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." That's what we feel like reading to start with. There may be more later on, but I'm going to tell you, as the week went through, I kept thinking of that song, that it's my desire to live with Jesus. There's a portion in it that says, "If you could see where he brought me from, to where I am today." I started thinking about Mephibosheth there and the condition that he was in, and just looking back to his young life, that he was a king's grandson. He had a whole life looking ahead to his advantage, and as way we might look at it. But as David started taking reign and the people started getting scared, one of the servants took him. You can read it in the scripture, and was running with him and fell on him and lamed both of his legs. So he had to even be raised with just lame in his legs. And he ended up in a place called Lodibar and grew up there. Now that place, it was set up with just like thuggish type people that didn't really have a care about it. It just loaded up with the world. I'm just going to tell you, the people that don't care about anybody. But all of a sudden, the door swung open. I could just see it as he's sitting there, and somebody stepping in and says, "We looking for Mephibosheth there." And as the king sent his men to bring him to him, and the Bible says that David started speaking to him. And as he sat there at the king's table, lame on both feet, and got everything of his possessions given back to him, I guess I could just see him later on as he's telling his kids and his grandkids about where he was and what was happening. Then all of a sudden that somebody loved me enough that they sent somebody down to get me out of the situation that I was in. And I know that we even get into situations sometimes in the world to where we, even in our mind, feel like, what are we even trying for? Because it seems like everything just seems to be tearing us down and keeping us down. But I'm glad, Danny, that I got somebody that loves me enough that don't want me to stay in that situation. He sent for him, brought him up, set him at the king's table. Now I'm going to tell you, it was unorthodox for that day for any lame man to be sitting at a king's table. And I'm going to tell you, these days people might look at us and they say, "What's even the difference?" But I'm going to tell you, the difference is this. I could just see Mephibosheth telling his kids, his grandkids, "Let me tell you where I was. And let me tell you about what was going on. But let me tell you where I am today. Because there was a difference made in my life." He wasn't left down there. There was a promise that brought him out of where he was at. The night that I got saved at 11 years old, I'm going to tell you what saved me was a promise. There was a promise. You say, "What promise was that?" In the scriptures it says, "If I come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that he won't turn me away." I know there's people probably said a lot of prayers through life before that, but maybe had some pride in their heart. But I'm going to tell you, the night that I knelt they was nothing but contrite and a broken heart that I could even bring to Him. And He promised that if I brought that to Him, that He would hear me. And He heard me. Now the Bible says that Jesus stepped onto a shore and there was a man that came to Him. Legion. A man that was possessed with devils. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of possession these days. And I ain't talking about these movie possessions that you can see how they portray things. But there's a possession of people's minds. There's a possession of people's hearts that is leading them in a direction that they really don't need to, and they don't want to go down, but because they ain't got what we got on the inside, they ain't got nothing else that can control them. Danny read it earlier about it, about when I become saved and that salvation come to me. It puts something on the inside of me that says, yes, He will forgive me if I falter and fail, but it does not give me a right to falter and fail. We use this lame excuse a lot of times. I'm only human. I'm only human. Which we are. And I understand that. And God understands it. But it didn't give us a right to go contrary to what God tells us to do. But this man, he came out. The Bible don't tell how he got into his situation or condition that he was in. We don't know. It don't tell. But it tells that he was had them. And people had tried and tried and tried to bind him down. But until Jesus came, and that's what the world does, is they try to bind things. They try to bind it and keep it down, and they don't want it to get. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus does. When Jesus comes by, you can read everywhere, looser, loose him, let him go. There's always a looseness about it because He wants us to have freedom in our heart to worship Him. But the world is a binding place, and it'll keep us down, and it'll keep you down as long as you stay out there. But this man, I'm going to tell you, he came to Jesus because, for one thing, I'll be honest with you, I believe he got tired of living in the condition that he was in. And the only help that he had just stepped up on the shore in the name of Jesus, and he came to him. People was afraid of him. They shunned him. They didn't want nothing to do with him. They tried to keep him away. But after Jesus got done and they started coming around, they seen him at Jesus' feet in his right mind. In his right mind. And the Bible says that they was fearful and they asked Jesus to leave. This ain't word for word, but he told them to leave. And even the fellow got up and he said, hey, let me go with you. He said, no, you just go back to your home. And you just tell him what was done. And I believe that was the first thing he started saying when he went back into his hometown. Said, let me tell you where I was at one time. But let me tell you where I am now, because this man named Jesus come by and he touched me and he made me a different man. You might say, well, I don't know if he got that message through. Well, next time Jesus went to that town, they was looking for him. They desired to see him. Because that man had a testimony about what he came through. And we can all examine our own self. I'm going to tell you, we all have a testimony. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have a testimony of what I used to be and what I am today. And I'm going to tell you, if the world can't see the difference, then we need to be checking up. I know some people, they got saved at an older age. Seen a whole lot more in life. I was 11 years old. And I hadn't did much. I just be honest with you. I can't even remember the Lord even dealing with me before that. But I'm going to tell you, at that moment in time, when the Spirit spoke to me, I become lost as any old man that they ever was. And if I had walked out that door and I died in that shape, I would have went to hell just like any lost man would have had. You might say, well, that just wouldn't have been right. Yes, it would, because the Spirit came and it gave me opportunity to be saved. But I can stand here and tell you that I ain't just that 11-year-old boy anymore. I can tell you what He brought me from and to what I am today. And each and everybody has, and sometimes I'll be honest with you, the devil uses even somebody else's testimony even against you, has he? Because they'll tell how life had been and what they come out of. And the devil's saying, see there, he didn't save you as much as he did him. But I'm going to tell you this. When you're saved to the uttermost. But I'm going to tell you, there's a requirement that God has for us to enjoy our salvation and for us to be an effective part of our salvation to the world. Because they need to see that we are different than what we used to be. There was a woman one time came to Jesus. She just come out. They don't say it just like this, but I'm just going to tell you. I just see her coming out of the doctor's office, giving them the last cent that was even in her name, looking for help. There's people out there that's looking for help everywhere but where help is really at. They are turning away from the very help that can help them. But the woman, as she was walking, I could just see herself. I ain't got nothing else in life. All my hope's gone. But then all of a sudden she hears in a crowd somebody mentioned about this man named Jesus. And in herself, that faith that's on the inside that he gave a measure to everybody started stirring around. And the Bible said that she worked through the press. And in herself she said, if I would just touch the hem of his garment, I believe I'll be made whole. You know, that woman got down to nothing. And that's what it's going to take. We're going to have to realize that we are down to nothing without Jesus being this and being our guide, our leader, and obeying him. The woman touched him, and the Bible said that virtue left his body, and the Bible says she could feel it in her body, the healing. The Bible said Jesus asked, who touched me? The disciples says this, just like we all say, well, you mean somebody touched you? People thronged all around you. Well, I'm going to tell you, we can come here every Sunday and just throng the place all we want to. But until we touch Jesus, until we touch Jesus and let him make that difference in our life, we're just some thronging people. Jesus answered him. He said, but I know that somebody touched me because I felt virtue leave. And as he turned around, he told her, he said, sister, thy faith has made thee whole. And I believe she went home and she started telling them, let me tell you what I was when I left this morning. I was somebody with an issue of blood. I was somebody that didn't have no more hope in life. I was somebody that ain't got nothing. But let me tell you who I am now. I am healed because I touched Jesus. If you could just see what I was and what I am today. Now this is what Jesus is also. He just ain't just a one person God. Even at that time that woman touched him, he was already on his way over to a man named Jairus' house. Yes, Jairus, somebody that probably didn't think much about Jesus at the time, but he had a little girl that was home sick. Nobody else couldn't do nothing. So he said, I'll just go get Jesus. He went and told him, and Jesus said, well, come on, we'll go into your house. On his way there, the woman got healed, but not only that, one of his servants came up. Told him, he said, don't bother the master no more. Don't bother the master, said, because she's dead. You know, sometimes there's people that have come in your life that try to, and don't really mean much about it, I don't reckon, but put some haltness in your life, I guess I can say that. Because they'll talk about the negativity and they'll talk about the things that might not be working and just don't even worry about it. It is what it is. That's what a lot of people say, but I'm glad that Jesus looked at Jairus and he says, come on, I'll go anyway. Because beyond everything that anybody might say, Jesus still can. They went on to the house and Jesus told them, he said, hey, she ain't dead, she just sleeps. You see how we might look at something other? Jesus looks at it completely different. And until we start looking at it like how he looks at it, it ain't going to be no good. But they said they laughed him to scorn. And he told them, just get out. You say, why is that? Because I'm going to tell you, until all unfaithfulness in our hearts is gone, because He wants our full faith. He wants us to believe wholly on Him and fully on Him. And at times I have, I'll just be honest with you. But sometimes I've got into all these situations somewhere down the line that I've halted. I've halted that faith just for a little bit. But it didn't take long for Jesus to come by and say, come on, come on. This ain't done yet. So Jesus spoke the words, and the young lady rose up. He said, get her something to eat. I'm going to tell you, the night that I got saved, I believe that Jesus was saying, now just get up and start eating. And what He's talking about is this right here, getting in it. But I imagine the Bible don't say no farther about the young lady, but I could see her just sitting in a rocker, telling her grandkids, let me tell you about Mama one time. That was laying our dead according to what the world says. But there's a man named Jesus come by. So I can tell you where I once was, but I can tell you where I am now. She had that testimony. The blind boy that was blind from birth, Jesus walked, put spittle on him, told him go wash, you come back seeing, and everybody's wondering how it happened. And him telling the whole time, a man came by, put spittle on me, told me go wash. Well, they have to be something other else. They have to be something other else. Talk to his wife, talk to his mom and dad. He's of age, talk to him. Because one of these days we're all going to come to that age. I came to that age when my mom and daddy couldn't speak for me. You come into that age that your mom and daddy can't speak for you when it comes that time to be saved. When my daughters came down and be saved, I couldn't speak for them. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even go down and pray with them. I just came up here and just thanked the Lord that He sent the Spirit by. And not only did He send it by, but they recognized it. That was my prayer all the time, is, Lord, when the Spirit comes by, let them know that it's dealing with them. And I'll tell you what, that Spirit on the inside of man know what to do. People say, well, how will they know? They'll know. My mom and daddy never told me when it was time, but that Spirit did. What kind of words did you say? I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you this, what I once was, I ain't now. And I've got that on the inside that's a dwelling. But that blind boy kept a talking to him, and they kept a ranting and a raving about it. Finally, they told him, so, well, this man's a sinner. And the best line he could ever say was, sinner or not, I might not know, but one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. I can tell you what I used to be, but I can tell you where I am today. And if you could just see where I am today, you will know why that I love Him so. But I didn't love Him first. He first loved me. He loved me yet when I was a sinner. He died when we was lost. There was no way to salvation till He came. But it was love that caused Him to be in the garden that said, not my will but thine be done. It's my desire to live for Jesus. If you could see where He brought me from to where I am today, you would know why I love Him so. And that's all He's asking, is us to love Him. Not with this. Not, I want to hear it. I'm sure He wants to hear it. But He wants to see it in this. When we go out in the world, to our jobs, to our schools, we are demonstrating what God, that we speak about God, but they looking at our lives. And they need to see what He brought us from to what we are today. And all week I thought about that, And I'll be honest with you, this morning when I first turned the radio thing on, that song, "It's My Desire," was a-playing. And the only thing I could say was, "Thank you, Lord." Because I'm going to tell you, all of God's works is not confined in this book. We use the words Old Testament, we use the words New Testament, but it's a continual testament. It's what it is. I understand the actions and the plan that He had from the beginning and all, but this thing is still alive. And you say, where is it alive at? It's supposed to be alive right here inside of us. This is what will make the difference in what we was and what we are and what we're supposed to be. And I believe that we all can just testify. I've got ways to go. I ain't exactly where I top notch or to be. And we all, but just like what they sung, I want to know Him better. Let's just do it. Let's just mean what we say. But that's the message for today. I appreciate the Spirit. Hope y'all got something out of it. Hope it gives somebody some help. But most of all, if the Spirit deals with you and you're lost, you need to be saved.